And now his son is in United Arab Emirates and working as a missionary there. His daughter is here doing a tremendous job teaching. Amen. We're very thankful for that. It's something to have a heritage, to be able to, or a legacy rather, to be able to pass on and see what the Lord is doing. Praise God. Brother Reed, come. We're very thankful you're here. Thankful you minister and have ministered. Amen. We ask you to do a work now. Get that for you. Look at how spry he is. He's ready to preach. It's God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Gover. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
While you're still standing, amen, I just want to say how appreciative I am of the time I've been able to be here. And thank God for Pastor Glover and the way that you've taken good care of my family. And I'm happy to be able to be with all of you and to get to meet you. And you will be in my heart. But I don't want to stand a long time on protocol. I'm going to get right into the Word. Let's turn to Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. Thank you, Pastor. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, give us more faith. Give us more faith. Pastor, would you pray?
Thank you, Lord God, for the goodness that you've bestowed. Thank you for the abundance, Lord, of your mercies. Now, Lord, increase our faith as we hear your word. Anoint and bless your servant. Touch and bless our hearts. Draw us closer to you, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Turn around and shake someone's hand and say, I'm glad to be in church.
Glad to be in church.
And then you can be seated.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Many times the teachings of the Lord are almost overwhelming to us. We look at what is required of us and we think, I don't have enough faith to do that. We think we have to be some kind of super spiritual Christian to accomplish all that he has called us to do. And this verse followed some teaching that Jesus was doing about offenses. How many of you have ever been offended or offended someone? Come on now, everybody's... I don't want any liars here, so raise your hand. Amen. And it seems like that this was something that the disciples and the apostles focused on a lot because they would ask, how many times should I forgive my brother? Is seven times enough? Amen. Somebody offends us today, you know, one or two times, we're through with them. In one place, Jesus said, not seven times, not 70, but 70 times seven. Oh, my. And so we have the idea that to overcome offenses, we have to be a perfect person. To keep up with all the requirements that God has of us, we ask him to magically make us what he wants us to be. We feel that only he can supply the missing element in our walk with him. But the truth is, he has already given us what we need when he takes us out of sin and gives us new life in his spirit. It is just a matter of exercising or growing what we have. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 gives us the biblical definition. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The dictionary definition is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. I like that. The Living Bible puts it this way. It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith is it impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not was. Not will be. I like that ever-present God. That God is. But he doesn't stop there. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, Jesus referred to two basic levels of faith. One, little faith, was directed toward those who should have grown their faith. They were his disciples. The only time he ever really talks about little faith is to his disciples, the ones that we call the apostles. Amen. They knew him. They had seen his miracles, but they still perceived things according to their circumstances. You remember the story of how they were rowing, trying to get to land, and Jesus came walking on the water, and they were so afraid, and he said, "Don't be afraid, it is I. And Peter said, "Well, if it is you, bid me to come to you on the water." And so Peter, in faith, stepped out on the water and began to walk. But suddenly he took his eyes off Jesus and started seeing how hard the wind was blowing and how high the waves were going. And he started to sink. And Jesus took him by the hand and came into the boat and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Whoo. The one who had the keys to the kingdom of little faith. One day he came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, and there were all his disciples, and everybody was mad at him because they couldn't cast the demon out of this little boy. And Jesus said to the rest of them, "Oh, ye of little faith." They didn't need more faith, but needed to keep their eyes on Jesus and have the confidence not in themselves, but in his word. Amen. Now, Jesus spoke of another. He called it great faith. And that was directed to those who seemingly should not have had that kind of faith. The Phoenician woman, a Gentile, came and said, "Lord, I want you to heal my daughter." "Well, I can't cast my pearls before swine. I don't want to give, you know, the scraps to the dogs." Whew. Now, you talk about offense. How would you like for someone to call you a dog? But that's the way the Jews looked at the Gentiles. And she said, "But Lord, the little puppies eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And he said, "I have found great faith. Not even in Israel have I found this kind of faith, but I have found great faith. Go, your daughter is made well from this hour." The Capernaum centurion, he said, "Lord, I also have authority." He recognized authority. He recognized it had nothing to do with him. And it has nothing to do with you, but having confidence in the one that has authority. He said, "Just speak the word. Just speak the word." And Jesus said, "Here's another one, a Gentile. He has great faith. I haven't found faith in all Israel like this, in my own people." You see, they knew their circumstances, but they also knew the one who could alter their circumstances and had complete confidence in his word. Romans 12 and 3 tells us, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man." And that word "man" there means humanity. Every man the measure of faith. God has given every one of us a measure of faith. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how much you've got. You have been given a measure of faith. Faith is God's gift to us. Amen. Now, God gives each man the measure of faith, and surely he does not make a mistake and give us the wrong amount. You know, it's a little bit of an insult to say to God, you didn't give me enough. I need more to do what you've asked me to do. Give me more faith, Lord, because you didn't give me enough. No, you need to exercise what he has given you already with faithfulness. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Faith or faithfulness? Faith or faithfulness? Jesus was saying, you don't need more faith. You need more faithfulness. You just use what you have. If we look at this discourse between Jesus and his disciples, we can gain an insight into the mind of Christ. He shows us the subtle difference between faith and faithfulness. He was talking about the proper Christian life, the relationships that they have, following the model that they had from him. Not that they needed more, but Jesus was basically saying, you've got what you already need, just use it. For if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Or you can say to this mulberry tree, be plucked up by the roots and planted somewhere else. To the inhabitants of Palestine, a mustard seed was the smallest visible article that they could imagine. Matthew 13:32 says, talking about the mustard seed, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in its branches. And so he goes on to explain this concept of faithfulness with a parable. Don't expect applause or commendation for just doing what you're supposed to do anyway as a child of God. A master does not say to his tired servant, you've worked so hard today and you need to go eat. No, he says, I'm hungry. Fix me something to eat, and you can eat when all your work is finished. That is faithfulness. Doing what you should do without complaint or expected help from other sources. More faith is not going to help you to do your job any better, but faithfulness will. The word faithful means to be loyal, constant, steadfast to something or someone. This is to be our response to the faith he has given us. We strive to learn his desires, his commands and purposes, and steadfastly carry them out, not thinking of ourselves, but of him and his cause. We have to guard our relationships to others as they are a reflection of the one which we serve. We are stewards of all he has given us. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is one who is responsible for or is a caretaker of another's affairs, property, or goods. And we are the stewards of God. As Sister Donna taught this morning, we are love slaves. We are love servants. And not because we have to, but because we want to. And we see that he is the one who has put all this in our hands. And so we're going to do everything we can do to keep our relationships right. And so when it comes to offenses, we've got to learn what the psalmist said. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Everybody say nothing. You know what? If we're faithful to God, we cannot be offended. I don't know why God placed this message on my heart today, but I feel like that I'm talking to someone today that we've got to learn that we keep our eyes on him, not on what somebody else does, not on ourselves, not on others. We are stewards of the mysteries and grace of God. We work for the cause of Christ in this world, not for ourselves. We have to learn to be faithful in the small things before we can ever graduate to the deeper things of the spirit world. Now, Peter, who had felt the sting of the rebuke of, oh, thou of little faith, wrote later on in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And Peter shows us how to grow our faith. This is a long reading, but I want to read it to you because it's so important. He said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter tells us, we have been given all things which pertain to life and godliness. When we receive the understanding of who he is our Lord and Master, our Christ, our Savior. Through the reception of his promises, we escape the world and start taking part in his divine nature. With diligence, we start building on the foundation that he gives us. Notice that foundation is faith. We are to add virtue, God's pure nature. Knowledge, we're to get to know him. Temperance, moderation in our acts, thoughts, or feelings. Patience, God's timing, not ours. Godliness, being like him. Brotherly kindness, preferring one another. And charity, love without limits. We are given faith, but we must add these other elements, which are attributes or attitudes of faithfulness. That seed of the Word of God is planted in our measure of faith, and a plant grows into a tree which can provide sustenance and shelter to many others. If we will let these grow, our faith will always be fruitful and productive. But when we fail to follow our faith with faithfulness, we forget from where we came and from what we were saved. And Peter finished this section by saying, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our very entrance into the everlasting kingdom of God depends on our faithfulness. Amen. Not on our faith. We've all been given the measure of faith, but it depends on how faithful we are to the one who has given us that measure of faith. Amen. Many of the parables of Jesus were given to teach faithfulness, especially in small things. In Matthew 24, 45, and 46, Jesus is speaking of a faithful servant when he said, blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh shall find so doing. Amen. You see, we don't know when he's coming, but we've got to remain faithful. We want to be doing what he has given us task to do. In Matthew 25, 21, Jesus is speaking of the parable of the talents and addresses the good and faithful servant with, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. And in Luke 16, Jesus addresses relationships to those who are not in the church with, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man, who shall give you that which is your own? Amen. We all live in this world, and we are a part of that world. And most of it have some kind of a job. Amen. And we think, oh, it's just a job. I don't like that. I don't want to do it that way. My boss said I should do this, but I've got a better way. If we're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who is going to commit unto us true riches? Amen. As we can see from these teachings, there is a direct correlation between the way that we act to the faith we've been given and the commands which demand a response of faithfulness to our ultimate reward from the one who is a personification of faithfulness. The only way we can build on our faith is to become more faithful. We must give him more of ourselves. It is a matter of our choice, of our will. We make the choices as to what or who is really important in our lives. Where is our confidence? In ourselves, in our talents, in our money, in our wisdom? Or is our confidence in him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? If job or money or appearance or others' perceptions of us or fame or fortune or pleasure or position are more important to us than his cause, this will be reflected in our response to him and our faithfulness to his word. It has nothing to do with our faith, but everything to do with our faithfulness. To get more of him, we have to give him more of ourselves. We used to sing a chorus which said, I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. That is the key to us. I want more of Jesus, so I'm going to give him more of me. You've all got faith. But do you have faithfulness? God bless you.
Amen, amen. Stand together now, would you? Thank the Lord that our God is faithful. He is faithful that promised, the Bible tells us. Amen. And he's proven that faithfulness time and time again. Thank God. Small things, big things, medium things, if we can categorize them like that, our God is faithful.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. And I thought of that parable he told, Brother Reed, of the widow woman, you know, just continually asking. And then the conclusion of that parable. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? I hope he finds it in your heart. I hope he finds it in my life. Amen. Lord, the faith that you've given, the measure of faith, hallelujah, let it be exercised, let it grow, let it increase, let it expand to the extent, God, that it glorifies you and it brings about the purpose of your kingdom. Your will be done, Lord. Your kingdom come, Lord. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah. I'd like for us to come and pray. Thank God for his precious word. Thank the Lord for how God is able to work through his might, through his word in our lives. Amen. Something far beyond what we'd be able to experience in our own or what we'd be able to generate in our ingenuity or talents or ideas. Oh no, far more. Far more what God is able to do. Thank God. Amen.